This is the Ending Human Trafficking Locally and Globally podcast. Not only will you learn more about the subject pertaining to the topic of human trafficking, but you'll also find out ways that you can take action against it. You may have heard human trafficking referred to as a gender issue. For example, the ILO estimates that over half of human trafficking victims are women and girls. Given that human trafficking does have this gender component, we can't exclude the male perspective from the conversation. So to incorporate new perspectives, we asked male UNICEF supporters about what draws them to support anti-trafficking efforts. Calling in from different states across the country, these UNICEF USA volunteers are excited to share the many ways you can also bring men into the conversation. But before we begin, I'd like to ask each of these panelists to introduce themselves and speak about how they got involved with UNICEF USA. Edgar, let's start with you.
Well, thank you, Tori. Well, I work on the End Trafficking Project for UNICEF USA as one of the End Trafficking Project Fellows. The End Trafficking Project, as some of you might know, is UNICEF USA's prevention-based initiative to raise awareness about child trafficking and to mobilize communities to take meaningful action to help protect those children. The program does this by conducting workshops and presentations, facilitating film screenings, advocating for federal and state-based legislation, and educating the American public on the issues of trafficking, but also on all UNICEF's work to protect children globally. Prior to this, I worked at Massachusetts Children's Alliance, essentially an organization in Massachusetts that responded, reported, and prevented child abuse. And through that line of work, I learned that a small percentage, nonetheless a percentage of children, were coming in more frequently. They were also identified as commercially sexually exploited children. And now I'm here at UNICEF USA, doing that great work of educating the American public on the issue of human trafficking.
Hey, my name is Sean. Thank you for having me, Tori. So a friend who started the UNICEF Next Generation chapter in Atlanta introduced me to UNICEF USA. For some background, UNICEF Next Gen is a group of young professionals that volunteer their time and resources to raising funds and awareness for UNICEF's life-saving work. You know, children can't help where or how they were born, and I really believe it's our duty to help those who were born with a harder lot in life. UNICEF USA is very efficient and very motivated organization, and they're phenomenal at addressing children's needs around the globe.
Hi, I'm Enrique. Thank you for having me, Tori. I am part of the Congressional Action Team for UNICEF USA. I was recently a state leader for the state of New York. We just had a delegation visit Washington during Hill Day. Our mission is to engage with politicians to help them support UNICEF and UNICEF's many endeavors in the United States and throughout the world.
Hi, so my name is Henry Goldberg and I'm from Dallas, Texas. I first got involved with UNICEF USA on May 1st, 2014, which is when I saw Carol Stern, which is UNICEF USA's president and CEO, speak at a pretty small event. And she was so inspiring that I decided to start a UNICEF club at my high school, St. Mark's School of Texas, the following fall. The club was really successful. And the next year I had the privilege to serve on the UNICEF USA High School National Council and to represent the United States at the J7 Youth Summit in Berlin. In addition, this past summer, I interned with UNICEF USA at their New York headquarters. And now I'm involved with UNICEF at Vanderbilt, where I'm wrapping up my first year.
Great. Thank you all for sharing your backgrounds. My first question is for Edgar. Do you believe men play a role in ending human trafficking in regard to both labor trafficking and sex trafficking? And if yes, would you be able to elaborate on what might be the role that men play in addressing this issue?
Thank you, Tori, for that thoughtful question. The short answer is yes. Yes, men do play a role in combating this issue. And the more intentional answer and more long answer is also straightforward as well. And it's yes, but it requires a little more excavated response. In terms of labor trafficking, we who consume goods and services, in this case men, are also tied to the problem of trafficking. We know from the International Labor Organization, through supply chain research and through reporting systems, that there's an estimated 5.5 million children worldwide that fall victim to human trafficking and forced labor. And we've defined that, we know that to be true. We know that men and boys literally buy in into these products and services, and just like everyone else. But let's hone in on sex trafficking and the commercial sexual exploitation of children. You know, and while traffickers can be anyone, disproportionately we know that a large majority of buyers for commercial sex are in fact men. And we know that when there's an increase in demand for commercial sex, there's also an increase in the risk for children to be exploited, in this case, young girls and young boys. Which, Tori, begs the question, why is there such a high demand for commercial sex? How are we as men consistently underrepresented among advocates, but overrepresented among perpetrators and buyers? Now, I answered your question with a few questions, Tori, but you asked me about the role that men play in addressing trafficking, and I've broken down into sort of three pillars. The first is pushing ourselves to be conscious consumers, like everyone else, making sure that we know where our products and services are coming from. The second is addressing harmful social norms, right? Putting an end to the demand for commercial sex is tied to us as men challenging our male friends and male colleagues to not buy sex, but also to steer away from the isms such as sexism. And the third is sort of tied to all that, and it's the mentorship of boys and mentoring boys into being advocates for change, ending violence against women, against young girls and boys, and against the LGBTQ community.
Sean, as Edgar just mentioned, if men do in fact play a role, how can we continue to bring them into the conversation and support them take action against trafficking?
Great question, Tori. There are two things we need to do. The first, tell stories. There aren't near enough stories about this issue. So by telling stories, we help to build empathy and connections between people. You can tell them stories and hope that they make that empathetic connection. You know, this is in regards to all people too, not just men. But for men specifically, men really need to start becoming aware that this issue is real and can directly affect them. We need to tell men that these victims aren't just some nebulous human who they can't relate to. Men need to hear more stories from that unique, real perspective. You know, unfortunately, there's also this perception that men can't be victims. You know, so I believe that it makes it harder for most men to relate to this issue. And that comes to my second point. Number two is we need to fight this perception that males can't be victims. Unfortunately, for a lot of humans, if they feel it can't happen to them, they can't relate. And if they can't relate, then they are far less likely to care and take action on a subject. You know, we really need to make men understand that this can and does happen to male children. You know, fighting this perception will also help encourage those male children to come forward. You know, some sad stats is 20% of sexually exploited boys go to a friend, and almost 30% don't go to anyone. You know, many experts believe that there is a very large number of male victims of trafficking that don't ever come forward because of this false perception.
On that note, what compels you personally as a young male professional to support an end to trafficking?
What compels me? So, look, famine, disease, lack of clean water, et cetera, are all awful issues that children around the world have to deal with every day. Typically, though, these are not person-to-person issues. Trafficking, though, involves adults openly and directly taking advantage of children. And I think one of the most vile things a human can do is to take advantage of a child. But unfortunately, and frustratingly, I feel that this issue goes under the radar of a lot of my peers. You know, this issue and these perpetrators of trafficking are not always easy to identify or to find. And that's why, as a young professional, you know, I feel I have the power to peel the wool off my peers' eyes about this issue. Many young professionals are just coming out of that child stage still and becoming more aware of the evils in the world. And I believe it's really powerful when someone their age shows their passion about a specific issue or helping others in general. You know, my generation is coming into their own right now, and they really need to be a big part of this fight to end trafficking.
To that point of getting our next generation involved, Henry, as a national council member, you actually had the ability to lead anti-trafficking initiatives at St. Mark's School of Texas and oversee clubs in your designated region that also engaged in anti-trafficking initiatives. What were some of the more impactful events that you supported that maybe our listeners can tap into and organize with their own networks?
Well, yes, that's correct. And I definitely have to say the Not My Life film screening is certainly one of the most common options that people take in terms of hosting their own events. And the reason for that is it's free and so easy to set up, and a really powerful film, and UNICEF USA will even provide clubs with a discussion guide for talking about and processing the movie directly after it's finished. So because of all that, it's a pretty easy option for clubs who are looking to spread a lot of awareness on a small or even non-existent budget.
Henry, do you mind reminding the audience how they can obtain a copy of the Not My Life film?
Oh, yes, of course. So just email endtrafficking@unicefusa.org and provide, you know, like a short blurb with some context about your event.
Thus far, we've talked about raising awareness and other means of combating trafficking. But what we've left out so far is advocacy. So I'm going to turn to Enrique because of his involvement with the New York City Congressional Action Team and his work at UNICEF USA's Advocacy Day at Washington, D.C. Enrique, why do you think advocacy to engage with our elected representatives is so important? And how would you ask some of your male friends to get involved?
Thank you, Tori, for the question. We are so fortunate to live in a country where anyone from any socioeconomic background can meet with their elected officials and engage with them on policy. For the past 2 years, as I've mentioned, I've had the opportunity to advocate on UNICEF's behalf during Hill Day in Washington, D.C. It's really amazed me how accessible our elected officials are with concerned citizens. We all have a civic duty to speak up and to have our voices heard. We all know how important UNICEF's work is to the plight of children all over the world. If we have those tools to engage our elected officials, then we ought to use them to ensure that UNICEF maintains that support from our government. A child in need knows no politics. Let's make sure that doesn't change anytime soon. UNICEF's work is extremely important, and we should all do what we can to attract as many supporters, male or female. Realistically, men have not participated or engaged in these issues as actively as women. We need to advertise the plight of all children all over the world and tell men that we cannot eradicate diseases, end early child preventable deaths, or slow down human trafficking without their help. Compassion is not only for women. The issues that UNICEF seeks to address will also resonate with men. Maybe we need to be more creative in targeting our demographic. We have seen some great campaigns such as Movember, where men are actively involved. We also see strong involvement within NextGen, which is a young professionals organization. I think when we look at the history of all successful grassroots campaigns, whether it be the civil rights movement, women's rights, or recently LGBT rights, it wasn't just the oppressed groups that were protesting or advocating for change. During the civil rights movement, it wasn't just African Americans who protested. There were plenty of other groups who marched right next to them. More recently, a nickname has been espoused on those who support LGBT rights, but are not part of that community, allies. Emma Watson has coined the campaign He for She to represent men who support equal rights for women. Engaging with people from all backgrounds will ultimately give a movement more credibility and a long-lasting potential to affect real change. UNICEF needs more male voices to help their cause much in the same way.
Thank you, everyone. My final question is about Human Trafficking Awareness Month. As you may know, UNICEF USA, as well as many other anti-trafficking advocates and organizations around the world, will recognize Human Trafficking Awareness Month in January. What's one way you recommend that listeners get involved?
I'll answer that one. You know, start reading. Do your research. Knowledge and awareness are the first steps towards getting involved. And from there, you'll easily be able to find groups who can best direct your actions.
I would say that one important way to get involved is to simply try to be more aware of the signs that somebody is being trafficked and be more aware of how to handle the situation if you do think someone's being trafficked. Of course, also make sure, you know, that your friends know these things too. If everyone does their best to learn the signs and to combat human trafficking, it would likely be a lot less common for that issue to occur. So spread the word, host a film screening, volunteer at a local rehabilitation center, and, you know, just stay aware of what's going on around you.
I'm glad that you actually mentioned that, because on our website at unicefusa.org/endtrafficking, we actually have a printable postcard which lists some of the signs of child trafficking.
I would also like to mention that you should educate yourself. As Sean has pointed out, spread the word to everyone you know. I was once very naive on the statistics of human trafficking, specifically within the United States. Perhaps I didn't think that this happened at the scale that it does. It's important to tell people that anyone can be trafficked regardless of class, education, age, gender. We must also realize that human trafficking is a huge business. In our professional lives, we must do all we can to ensure our employers and our personal professional endeavors do not contribute directly or indirectly to the problem. I work in finance. I know there's a huge problem with spotting financial activity related to human trafficking and other criminal organizations within the financial system. Often these criminals layer their financial activity in ways that is almost impossible to detect. We need to keep developing technology to catch these criminals. As consumers, we also need to be aware of how we can avoid indirectly sponsoring human trafficking. Irrespective of what you do, do not ever think that you can't make a difference.
Well, my colleagues are correct. The education piece and the awareness raising piece is crucial, and it's something that that's one of the main reasons or one of the main pillars of the End Trafficking Project is doing just that, education and awareness. But even more than that, it's educating men, and specifically that they too can play an active role and proactive role in ending violence against women, violence against children, and ending child trafficking. The biggest takeaway for me is education and mentorship, but even more specifically for young boys. It's mentorship for boys. It's fostering an environment of love and compassion, productivity and proactivity, and encouraging young boys to step into a role of speaking out against all forms of violence. It's being intentional in how we raise our young boys to be more inclusive, not just of women and trans individuals, but of themselves, being intentional and being inclusive of themselves. That being inclusive and teaching them to be inclusive of women and the LGBTQ community and children, all that is crucial to getting at the systemic inequalities that impact those with a higher risk of being trafficked. Getting at the push and pull factors that perpetuate that same supply and demand of people for the purpose of supplying cheap goods and commercial sex. All that is important. In teaching that, it starts with the intentional and inclusive education. And in this case, intentional and inclusive education of young boys.
I appreciate the insights and want to thank all the panelists on this episode. Let's continue the conversation. To Edgar's last point before I conclude, I do want to mention that this podcast is complementary to a blog on our website entitled, I Am a Man and I Care About Ending Human Trafficking. I recommend you check it out if you want to take a deeper read about a male perspective on human trafficking. For now, no matter who you are, we hope you have some ideas to take with you.
For more information, check out unicefusa.org/endtrafficking.